Thank you for being here tonight. How many of you are happy to be in God's house tonight? Ah, I love coming to God's house. It's not enough that we just come, though. We want to connect, and that's what we're here to help you do. We want you to connect with God. We want you to connect with each other. We believe you cannot live Christianity effectively alone. God has given us relationships with other people. We also believe that discipleship happens best, not just in rows when you're just looking at my face and I'm looking at your beautiful faces, but it happens best in circles where we can look at one another and we can grow together in the Lord. And so that's why we use tables. I want to remind you that community is not built for us. It's not something that somebody does for us. It's built by us. We build community together. We believe you're an important part of the kingdom of God. Let me try that again. We believe you're an important part of the kingdom of God. How many of you believe I am an important part of the kingdom of God? Amen. So let's say that tonight. Say, I am an important part of the kingdom of God. Let's say it again. I am an important part of the kingdom of God. Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell them you are an important part of the kingdom of God. Amen. We believe you're not here by accident, that you're an important part. But in order to be a part, you got to participate. And that's what we want. So let me just address the elephant in the room. Again, we realize some people have social anxieties. Actually, most people do. We realize it's uncomfortable and awkward to look people in the eye that you don't know anything about and you've never seen them before in your life and be forced to do things you'd rather not do that you don't have to do sitting at home on your couch. However, we want you to be able to face your fears and learn to engage other people, because if we can't engage each other in God's house, how are we going to connect with His great commission to win the world outside His house? And we're here to teach you and empower you. That's what tonight's all about, empowerment, so that you can live your life on a mission, and that is God's mission for you, and help you to connect to that. We've been talking about increasing your effectiveness in prayer. Increasing your effectiveness in prayer. I've given you a set of notes tonight. I want to give you something to take home with you, because it's not enough for you to just know what you believe. You've got to know why you believe it. You've got to know why you believe what you believe. And we get what we believe from God's word. Amen? We get what we believe from God's word. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you've experienced. It doesn't matter what you've been told. What matters is what God's word says. And so we must build our faith upon the only foundation that can never be shaken, and that is the solid rock of God's word. Tonight, I want to continue talking to you about this in your prayer life, because prayer is something that every born-again believer, every disciple and follower of Christ must be able to navigate successfully, because it is critical to seeing God move in your life and in the lives of those you know. He wants to show up in a big way. We serve a big God, and we ought to be unafraid to have a big faith and pray big prayers. Can you say amen tonight? The Bible still says in Mark 9:23 that with Him nothing is impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. Are there any believers in the house tonight? Amen. Praise God. So James chapter 5, verse 16, I'm going to read it to you from the New Living. It says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So we can pray prayers that are powerful and get results. It's something that is not only a possibility, but God wants it to be your reality. And so we have the ability to increase our efficiency in prayer. Now, prayer is something we must be taught to do. It's not something that we just know how to do automatically. The disciples told Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And He did that very thing. And so the Bible shows us how to pray. Now, each of you have a furnace at your home, and that furnace has an efficiency rating on it. And we ought to be able, to some degree, to acknowledge the efficiency of our prayer life. And we feel like if it's not efficient, then there's some things we can address. And that's what I'm helping you to accomplish. And tonight we're specifically talking about the prayer of faith that moves the hand of God so that you can possess His promises and see His power released in your situation. What happens is we get discouraged because we feel like we don't see results when we pray. And to a large degree, the church has reduced prayer to a coping mechanism where we can come to God and talk about things troubling our souls, have a good cry, feel a little bit better when we leave. And prayer has become our appointment with the great psychiatrist or the great therapist, if you will. It's a spare tire type thing. You know, spare tires say on them in parentheses, use only in case of emergency. And God doesn't want prayer to be like that. God wants prayer to be a part of your everyday life. It is a conversation that we have with Him, very simply put. However, when you take an open and honest look throughout the pages of this book, we find very quickly that prayer is powerful. Prayer releases the power of God, and prayer is able to accomplish what we cannot do through our own human ability or through our own understanding, and it invites God's involvement in the situation. Now, the Bible talks about different mysteries, but prayer is not one of the things that it leaves as a mystery. It is explicit in giving instructions for us to see the power of God again released in our situation. So as I was meditating on some different things this week, I thought about the reality that we must pray our way into our divine destiny. We must pray our way into the things that God has prepared for us. That's why Jesus was explicit when he said, "Ask and you shall receive." The Bible says we have not because we ask not. He says, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open to you." So there are things I'm only going to find as a person of prayer. There are doors that will only be open to me as a person of prayer. There will be things that I can only possess by asking God in prayer. And so let's hit some things that we went over last week that help your prayers to increase their effectiveness. Number one, when you pray, this is critical truth, that you've got to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. We go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Go to the Father in Jesus' name. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. We went over that last week. It's on your sheet there. Jesus said, "I want you to pray to the Father in my name." And he guarantees our effectiveness when we do that. Number two, you've got to ask in faith. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Jesus said, "Have faith in God, for assuredly whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that he will have those things he says, he will have whatever he says." And it goes on, he says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So we have to ask in faith. Faith, very simply put, is believing God, taking Him at His word. Amen? How many of you believe God tonight? How many of you believe His word tonight? Praise God. You have faith in. The third thing we went over last week was ask according to His will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, if I ask anything according to His will, I shouldn't be asking for anything if it's not according to His will. He hears us. That's great news, verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Where can I find the will of God? In the Word of God. Where can I find the will of God? Ephesians says, "Do not be unwise, but understand the will of God," which tells us if we don't know God's will, then we are unwise. The will of God is knowable. It is not ethereal. It is not something that is beyond your grasp. God reveals His will to each and every man and woman who seek Him through prayer and through His word. So He gives us the ability to know how to pray. The more I get into His word, the more my mind is renewed, the more I begin to think like God thinks. I think God's thoughts. We have the mind of Christ. The more I know His word, the greater confidence I have when I ask, very simply because I'm asking things that He already wants me to have. Can you say amen tonight? Faith begins where the will of God is known. So again, the word teaches me to ask for what God already wants. The promises of God are yes and amen, the Bible says to us. Okay, so He shows us what we can have, and He wants us to come to Him and ask for that. But tonight, let's get into some new territory. The fourth thing you want to do to increase your effectiveness in prayer, and I'm going to move around some. I feel bad for those of you who have your backs turned to me. Is that okay with y'all? You guys who have your backs turned? Okay. Number four, release the power of agreement. You've got to release the power of agreement. Somebody say agreement tonight. Okay, now this is critically important. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20, he said, again, I say to you that if two of you, how many?
Two
of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, all right? How many people does it take to achieve agreement?
Two.
How many people does it take to achieve agreement?
Two.
Can you achieve agreement alone? No. The Bible says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, so does that tell us that agreement with another believer in prayer increases our effectiveness?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, again, that's confined. That anything doesn't mean absolutely anything. It means anything according to God's will. Where can I find God's will? In his word. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. Whose name? The name of Jesus, the name we pray in, I am there in the midst of them. So, Jesus tells us that when you get into agreement with another believer, it releases the power of God in that prayer. Again, I want to tell you, it's not enough that we just come. We've got to connect. God wants you to do life with other believers. Amen? And so there's power in agreement. I want to show that to you from God's word. We see that in Genesis with the Tower of Babel. This story absolutely fascinates me. Most people think of the Tower of Babel and they think of evil people doing something that was awful and erecting a skyscraper that was idolatrous and doing something to thumb their noses at God. However, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6 and 7, this was when all the men on earth spoke one language. They were unified. It says, look, he said, God is speaking, the people are united. The people are united. There is agreement. And they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Do you see that? After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. I absolutely love this because it shows the power of agreement. Now, they were using their agreement and their oneness and their unity to accomplish something against God's plan. But Jesus Christ comes and shows us and unites us in one name, under one banner, in one blood, one kingdom, one love. It is his love. And he shows us that the kingdom of God, when it unites in unity and harmony and agreement, there is nothing that will be impossible for us. He tells us we can literally win our world if there's oneness and there's unity, and we can build something great that points to the skies and gives God glory. Can you say amen right there tonight? So do you see the power of agreement? Yes? All right. That's why God is moving in a powerful way in and through Victory Church. This is one of the keys people want to know. Why is God doing what he's doing at Victory Church? It's not that we have a corner on the market. It's just that we're just following the instructions. Amen. And one of those critical keys is that there be unity and there be harmony. I thank God for that here. I had a guy tell me many years ago, he said, man, I've been coming to Victory for some time now, and I've just been waiting for the bubble to burst, and it never did. There's unity in this place. We have one mission. We have a vision. We're here to lift Jesus Christ as high as we possibly can and love, show our world his love. Amen. And we believe that if we lift him high, he will draw people to him. They come into this place the way they are. They know they're loved. They hear the word of God, and God is able to change them through the power of the Holy Spirit and cleanse and purge and purify and sanctify them and put them on a new path, not because somebody gave them a set of rules and regulations, but because they had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, because this is a place where we meet with God. And when two or three come together in his name, he shows up.
Amen.
So there's power in unity. There's power in agreement. Jesus is teaching us to release that in prayer. He also teaches us that a house that is divided cannot stand in the book of Matthew. Okay? And that's very critical for us to understand. So if you're experiencing some frustrations in your prayer life, especially if you're married, I want to share with you this next scripture. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says this. Some of you may not have even realized this was there. It says, in the same way, you husbands. How many husbands are in the room today? Just raise your hand. You husbands, give honor to your wives. You husbands, give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. I like that. She is your equal partner. Look at your wife and tell her, you're my equal, baby. Now, don't be prophesying if you're sitting beside somebody you think's good looking and you saying that to them, you're like, I don't know you. You better get real. You're my equal. But watch this. Treat her as you should. Treat her as you should. Treat her as you should. So your prayers will not be hindered. Do you know when there's not unity between a husband and wife, it can affect your prayer life? I am reading the same Bible you are, aren't I? That was an eye-opener for some of you. He's like, oh my goodness, that just got me in the heart. It has the power to decrease our effectiveness in prayer. So let me be clear. Yeah, your Bible's got a misprint in it. You got a blem. If you've been fussing and if you've been fighting, listen, if you've been fussing and fighting and disrespecting each other and carrying on, this isn't a one-way street. Normally goes both ways. And you both need to go home and apologize to each other and make up. And make up. And make up. You hear what I'm saying to you? If you haven't made up in the last 3 days, you better make up. My great-grandmother, some of you are starting to get the picture now. I don't care how old you are. Consult your doctor first if you're concerned. But my great-grandma, y'all know grandma, she preached her whole life. And she was pastor emeritus at Cornerstone Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And even in her 90s, she'd be down front praying with people, and they'd come, and young couples would come to her struggling, and she'd ask them that question, make them blush. She said, baby, when was the last time y'all have been together? She said, I want you to go home this afternoon and be together. She didn't say it quite that nice. She'd say, I want you to come back and see me tonight and tell me how you're doing. They'd come back with big grins on their face. We're doing okay. Well, I'm telling the truth tonight. Before you get married, Satan does everything he can to try to get you to have sex. And after you're married, he does everything he can to try to keep you from having sex. But my point is, there's got to be oneness and there's got to be unity. Amen? And so we need to make sure that those blockages are not in the way there. We've got to come into agreement and then ask God for what we need. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse 9 through 12 says, two people are better off than one. Two people are better off than one. Two people are better off than one. You were not created to do life alone. Satan loves to isolate people. And we isolate ourselves and we exclude ourselves. Two are better than one. And that's not just talking about marriage. For they can help each other succeed. Verse 10, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. Have you ever fallen? We talked about that Sunday. Anybody here ever fallen? It helps to have somebody to reach down and say, let me help you up, doesn't it? Instead of kicking you when you're down. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. It's another reason why we've got to be connected. There's got to be accountability in our lives. Verse 11, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Now, we are talking about married people there. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. I love that. Two people can stand back to back and conquer. There are even better, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Well, here's the deal. Jesus said, if two or three of you get together in my name, I'll be there in the midst of you. So if I come into agreement with Brother Herb, right, then it's you and it's me. It's one, two, and Christ at the center, three. Threefold cord can't be broke. Amen? It exponentially increases the strength. So Jesus is telling us, when you have a need, I want you to go to another believer, someone that you trust, and I want y'all to come into agreement, and I want you to pray for one another. I want you to share each other's burdens. You don't have to carry it all by yourself. Too many of us are trying to carry things that are crushing it because we're too prideful to look a brother or sister in the eye and say, you know what? I don't have it all together. I hate to break your heart, but I need some help. And let them help us shoulder that load. Because that weight that could have crushed one person when you split it out over two or three people, boy, it's not so hard to carry anymore, is it? When I did that tough mutter last year, it about killed me. We did that log carry. And that was, I hated that more than anything on the entire thing. Because the guy on the back, on the front, and wait, I was on the front, he was on the back. And we were tall, and there was three short girls in the middle. So it was a waste. Y'all just sit aside, because you ain't doing nothing. Hi, baby. Speaking of accountability. You want to jump in on this? I got a mic. Yeah, y'all, you might as well have been swinging off of it. Anyway, good to see you. Adios. I'm telling you, it was clobbering me. But if I had to carry that thing alone, I'd have just walked off. I'd have quit right there. But you know, you spread the load out. Wait, there is a philosopher that lives in Gillett. I don't know if y'all have met him yet. Owns a country store by the name of Woody's. Actually, Jeannie Oldroyd owns the store. Just happened to let Woody name it after himself. He said something to me a long time ago, and I always say it. Sometimes I say it seriously. Sometimes I say it jokingly. Many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. And, you know, that's what God wants us to do in prayer. There's power in agreement. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says it like this. How can two people walk together unless there be agreed, unless they have agreement? Well, that's why you can't be divided in your marriage. You got to get on the same page. Amen? There's got to be compromise. I didn't intend for this to be so much about marriage tonight, but it is, so let's go there. There's got to be some compromise in marriage. And compromise doesn't mean you give up who you are. You've got to know that tonight. Compromise means I love you so much that I'm willing to yield who I am and what I want for your benefit. And the other individual says, I love you so much, I'm willing to yield who I am and what I want for your benefit. And so it's give and take on both sides. It's not give and give and give and give. That's abuse. Right? 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 Okay. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. If all you ever do is ask for something out of somebody, you're an abuser. Right? It's give and take. It's very, very important that we understand that. And so we're sharing. There's a compromise there. I don't lose who I am. Again, the Bible says when two people get married, the two shall become one flesh. It doesn't mean that you do whatever you always do what one person wants. Well, that's not the two becoming one. Two becoming one is we do what you want, we do what I want. We do what you like and we do what I like. We don't have to do either or, we can do both. Okay? This is a very important part to understand compromise and understand how two people become one. So that year after year, you grow closer and closer together and you see that relationship develop. It's critical so that we can develop these areas and increase our effectiveness in our prayer life. Okay? It goes deeper than just saying, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and I need you to show up in this situation in my life. There are other tentacles that go out from that that affect our prayer life. Why is there always power in our services? To produce change, to produce transformation, to see people have needs met in their life. I had somebody come to me before service tonight, and they said to me, you know, I got to give you a testimony. This that you're teaching on tonight, we weren't going to make it financially. I don't feel like I'm good at prayer. I asked God to take care of us financially. I took my need to him and told him, And she said, I had somebody else there doing some work at the house, and I was opening the mail. And she said, we received a check for $1,200, and I began to cry. And I saw God answer my prayer, and I saw God show up in my situation. Church, you have that happen a few times, and it increases your boldness in prayer in a huge way. No different than if you're an athlete, and you go to bat, and you whiff time after time after time. There comes a point where that starts affecting you when you get up there. You're like, what's the purpose? I'm just going to whiff again. But you start seeing God show up in your prayer life in a few ways. Let me tell you, it does something great for you. That's what we see in the Word of God. We see people getting results to their prayers. Amen? And so it's critical that we do the exact same. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, if you'd take another look at that with me tonight. Jesus says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Look at what he says in verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I am there in the midst of them. Well, again, when we come together with another believer in the name of Jesus Christ, he shows up in the midst of us. Now, let me ask you a question. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you look at the life, Miguel, of Jesus Christ, do you see him meeting needs everywhere he went? Yes. Do you see him healing people everywhere he went? Yes. Do you see the power of God being demonstrated through him everywhere he went? Yes. Did he not say to us in John chapter 14 that the works I do, you're going to do also, and greater works than these you shall do because I go to my Father? He said if believers would do those things. Well, that's the power of our prayer life, of asking those things. When Jesus shows up, needs are met, people are healed, bondage is broken, demons have to flee, darkness leaves at the presence of light. If they kill the lights in here tonight, and then they turn them back on, every time you flip that switch on, when light comes, darkness goes. Without fail, every single time in the history of humanity, when light comes, darkness goes. Well, can I tell you, when you invite, through the power of agreement, Jesus Christ in your situation, the light shows up and the darkness has to leave. That's the power of agreement. And agreement is extremely powerful if you're married. Agreement is extremely powerful when it comes to praying over your family or over your children. Why? Because God has given you authority in those areas. God has planted you in your job place. Prayer there is powerful. Find you another believer, Jason Oldroyd. Wave at everybody in the back. Right there, he's the one that helps you guys find a seat tonight. He does that at work, and I love that. And what has happened over years? How many years you been there now? How many? 13 years. Thank God for faithfulness. Can you give Jason a hand? But over 13 years, sometimes it might have been frustrating to see his fruitfulness because he continues to come together with other believers and see the power and presence of God released among them. Where Jesus shows up, things happen. Just read the Bible. So agreement or oneness or harmony releases the power of the Holy Spirit to flow into the farthest reaches of your life. Somebody say harmony. Okay, I like harmony. I love music. I'm a music lover. I can't play anything. I can't sing a lick. I do sing. Y'all want to hear something funny? Come stand by me during praise and worship. I wonder, Trevor, if God's amused by what he hears. I hope he hears my heart. But you know what? There's something to be said about harmony. Harmony requires two things to be in agreement. It requires instruments or it requires singers to be in agreement. And whenever someone gets out of agreement, you can hear that very quickly. Even in a massive orchestra of hundreds of pieces, if someone gets out of that flow of agreement, out of that harmony, you can pick it up very quick and everybody's eyes will go right to them. Don't feel bad, Mark. I just went right to you. I'm not saying you're out of agreement, out of harmony tonight. But you know what I'm saying. And so I want you to think about your life. And I want to ask you this question. Is there an area where you're not harmonizing? Is there an area where you're not harmonizing? Whether it's in your walk with God. Is there a lack of harmony in your marriage? Is it with a family member? And then have you done everything in your power personally, to resolve that issue? Because God wants more than just results. We're not pounding on the results door and destroying relationships in the process. God wants us to have both. Can you say amen tonight? There's got to be harmony in our life. Psalm 133 says this. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron." Now, Aaron was a priest. It's talking about oil because they would be anointed with oil to represent the Holy Spirit empowering them in their life to fulfill what God had called them to do. It says, "Running down on the edge of his garments, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion." Watch what he says here. "For there," somebody say there. How do we get to there? Because there is a place. "There the Lord commanded the blessing live forevermore." Well, where did he command that blessing? He commanded it in the place of unity. Unity is a spiritual destination. And it is a place we must get to. It does not come automatically. It's something we must get to, that place where we come into unity with God, number one, by being obedient to his word, and with the believers around us or our family members, and it's critical. And the Bible says where that happens, there, in that location, the Lord commands the blessing. And so if you want God to command his blessing on your house, start working towards unity. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you want there to be a commanded blessing upon your workplace, whether you own the business or whether you're just working there. How many of you know that if you bring increase to your employer, you're valuable to them and you increase your value to them? Okay, God wants you to do that. Wherever you are, he wants you to be a conduit of his blessings. That's critical. So number one, go to the Father in Jesus' name. Number two, ask in faith. Number three, ask according to his will. Number four, release the power of agreement. Find somebody you can go to and say, "Hey, I need you to pray with me about this." And so what we do is we muster up every ounce of faith we got, and we say, "Father, in the name of Jesus," we begin to ask for that thing, and together we unite our faith to move that mountain. The fifth thing tonight is that you believe you received the moment you asked. In this type of prayer, again, there are different types of prayer. We've talked about all of them, but tonight we're talking specifically about the prayer of faith where you're asking and receiving. Then this is critical, that you believe you received the moment you ask. Jesus says, Mark 11:24, he says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them." When did he say to believe you received it? When it shows up? When you feel better? When you pray, believe that you receive them. And then what did he say next? There's a slight probability. I love weathermen. I mean, they're the only job in the world where you can be wrong the majority of the time and everybody still loves you. Jesus said, "And you will have them." He gives us, again, a key to answered prayer. And that is very simply this. When you ask in faith, faith always has a time and a place when and where it received that thing is done. The starting point for our believing is at the moment you asked. I told you last week, if you don't believe God's going to do it, don't ask. That's just religious. Don't even bother asking. And there's three things we can do right here that are critical. Number one, you got to write it down. The Bible says write the vision. Write it down on an expectation card. I gave those to each of you last night. I've got a stack of them here for you tonight if you'd like one of them. Write it on an expectation card. Write it in your Bible. Write it in a prayer journal. Write it on a post-it. I don't care if you put it on the mirror with lipstick. Whatever you got, Trevor, don't do that in lipstick. If you're ladies. Number two, hold it before God every day. This is very important. Bring it back before the Lord every day. Number three, begin to thank him that what you asked is already finished. That's believing you receive when you ask. You're acting on what you believe. Faith without works is dead. Faith that is alive has actions. We can't be deceived to just hear the word. We've got to be doers of the word. So I write it down. I bring it before God and I say, Father, I thank you that what I've asked of you is already finished. I thank you that you're working on it. I thank you that you're able. I thank you that even though I can't see it, even though I don't feel it, even though it hasn't showed up yet, I don't know where it's going to come from or how it's going to get here or who you might use to bring it into my life. I thank you that it's already done and accomplished. And what that does is it builds an expectation in our life that I begin to start looking for that thing that I receive when I ask for it to start showing up in my life. I don't say, God, give it to me. Please give it to me. Oh, God, would you please show up in my life? And the next day comes, oh, God, I ask that you show up in my life. God, would you please, would you please, would you please? Can I tell you today, faith believes it receives when it asks. So if you believed you got it, what's the next thing you automatically say? Thank you. I begin to thank him. I shift gears. I'm changing posture. I'm not a beggar. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. And when I begin to thank God for that thing, it releases my faith that it's already done. It's already accomplished. The answer is already yes. It's already in my past because I've asked for something according to his word. I bring him a promise with it, and I begin to thank him that that thing I've asked is already accomplished, and I start looking for it to show up in my life. And I don't look for it tomorrow, I start looking for it today. Why is that important? Because Hebrews says, now faith is. If it's not now, it's not faith. Hope is tomorrow, faith is today. Can you say amen tonight? I start looking for it now. When is the moment of salvation? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God wants you to have that thing in your life. And so I start looking for that with an expectation in my life, believing I've already received. Don't put it off another day. Just because you can't see it, just because you can't feel it, doesn't mean that it's not already yours. Let me put it to you. In a very simple illustration, how many of you have ever, I know you don't really do things like this anymore, now you use your phone and you use Amazon or whatever, and I'm blown away how fast stuff gets to us, but you used to take a catalog and call in and place an order and they give you a confirmation number. How many of you have ever picked up a phone and placed an order for something, right? I know that's kind of getting to be pretty archaic. But when we do that, I want you to think about that. It was at the time you placed the call when you believed that the transaction was complete. And then you just expectantly waited for that thing to show up. You're looking at the mailbox. It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. You knew it was coming and you knew it was yours. Why? Because you already had the confirmation number. Can I tell you, God has given you confirmation numbers? And when you ask for something in faith, you can hang on to the confirmation number that what I believe for, I have received. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Jesus already bought and paid for it in full at the cross of Calvary. God's best belongs to me today, Dan, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. It's not about me, it's about him. It's about me allowing his goodness to flow in me and through me. The goodness of God produces repentance in our life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And so you got a confirmation number. How many of you own a car? Or at least have a car that the bank, you know the rest of that deal. Anybody got a house? Houses come with deeds. Cars come with titles. Your Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it calls your faith the title or the deed. In other words, that title, that deed is the proof that the car belongs to me. I've bought cars. I bought one off of eBay one time, that black truck I had before this one. And I had never even seen the thing. But once you got the title in your hand, you know it's yours. Even if you've never seen it, never driven it, never touched it, never smelled what it smelled like inside. But I knew that that thing was mine. Faith is the exact same way. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Amplified says, now faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation. It's the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. My faith is all the proof I need that it's already mine. I've got the title in my hands. I've got the deed in my hands. When I ask for something, God already promised me I could have. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We receive by faith first, by fact second. We date the time we receive by faith. This is critical. God dates the time we receive by fact. Try that again. We date the time we receive by faith when we asked. God dates the time we receive by fact when it shows up and he says, it's time. For Abraham, it was 25 years between the time God made him a promise of a son and that son showed up. But can I tell you, God's faithful. For me and Marcia, it was 7 years between the time I started believing God for another baby and the time Zoe showed up. But let me tell you today, God's faithful and his word is true. And when we cling to his word, no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what the devil tells you, we cling to this book. I didn't believe it because I felt it. I believe it because he said it. I didn't believe it because I saw it. I believed it because he said it. And I kept going back to the only thing that I knew never, ever, ever changes, and that is the word of God. And that is where I find not only the strength I need to ask, but the strength I need to sustain me between the time I ask and the time I receive. And that gap is called expectation. Can you say amen tonight? I want you to begin believing God to show up in your lives and to show up in the lives of those around you. And when he does, you know who's going to get the credit? Not you. Let's live lives that people look at and say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen? Would you stand with me tonight and let's sing together. Let's spend some time just worshiping the Lord and letting this song seal this word into our hearts. Father, we thank you tonight that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight that it is the name above all names. We thank you tonight that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of you, Father. We thank you tonight that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight that there is healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight that bondages are broken in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight that there is reconciliation in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight that your name has the power in situations to take people from enemies to friends in Jesus' name. We thank you tonight for righteousness in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight for peace in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight that there is joy that overflows in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight that there is provision in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight that there is power over Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, tonight, over every situation, how many of you have a pressing issue in your life right now that you need to see God show up in your situation powerfully? I just want you to raise your hand right now and wave at me. All over this room, I want you to use the name of Jesus in that situation. That's all it takes. I want you to declare Jesus' lordship over that situation right now. Come on, prayer is not a spectator sport. Don't let me do it for you. I'm going to do it with you. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into agreement with every uplifted hand here tonight, every hand that represents a need. Father, we know that your word addresses those needs. Father, we know tonight in the name of Jesus that what he did at Calvary is more than enough to release the solution into that situation. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that situation to come in line with your purpose. Perfect will. We pray right now that your will in heaven be done on earth. And in that situation, Father, that it be accomplished today, God, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we bind and we break and we rebuke every attack of Satan. We declare in Jesus' name that no weapon formed against these families and these uplifted hands shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, I pray for peace to be released in Jesus' name. I pray that that depression would leave in the name of Jesus. There are those here tonight that have pain in their bodies. Jesus, you took the pain in your body and on your back for healing in our bodies. Your body was broken so that ours doesn't have to be. And tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, we release the healing power of God into every body, into hearts, God, into minds, God, into emotions, into emotional issues, God, into mental issues, God, in the name of Jesus, into chemical imbalances. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command those chemicals to be aligned with the perfect will of God. Father, tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, we command every stronghold to come down. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command every weapon formed against us to be null and void of its power over our lives. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, we claim and we declare and we prophesy victory over our lives, victory over our bodies, victory over our minds, victory over our marriages, victory over lost and wayward children. In the name of Jesus, we reach out the long arm of faith. We snatch them out of hell's flames. We claim their souls for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father, for it tonight. We apply the blood of Jesus over them. We break addiction tonight. I command temptation to be broken. I pray, God, right now, just like you gave me, give them a window of clarity. For those who are running with the wrong crowd, God, give them a new family. Give them new friends. Give them a life transplant, Father. You did it for me and you can do it at them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe it and we receive it. We date it is done today in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah to the Lamb. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Come on, praise him like you believe it tonight. Hey. Stir yourself up in the Lord. Be passionate about God. Hallelujah to his name. God bless every single one of you. I love you. Thank you for being here tonight. We're not going to waste your time. We're going to empower you to see God make a difference in your world so that you can turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ and show them there's a God that came to save them and not to damn them. And he's for them and he's not against them and he loves them. And all they got to do is invite him to come in and be a part right where they are today. Can you give God praise? All right, I'll see you Sunday. Bring a Bible, bring a friend.